I'm glad that they have Kleenex up here. I might get a nosebleed from being up so high. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I just want you to know that you are truly blessed to have Stephen Mottarella as your minister of music. And we feel equally blessed to have him as our organist. So we share that in common. And we thank you, Stephen, for all that you do. So today's Mother's Day. I just want to share with you a little bit about mothers. We know that many famous people have had mothers. Mona Lisa's mother, she would say this to her daughter. This you call a smile? After all the money your father and I spent on braces? Christopher Columbus's mother. I don't care what you've discovered. You still should have written. Michelangelo's mother. Why can't you paint on walls like other children? Do you know how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's mother. All right. If you're not hiding your report card inside your jacket, take out your hand and show me. Abraham Lincoln's mother, again with the hat. Why can't you wear a baseball cap like other kids? George Washington's mother, next time I catch you throwing money across the Potomac, you can kiss your allowance goodbye. Thomas Edison's mother, of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb. Now turn it off and go to sleep. Paul Revere's mother, I don't care where you think you might have to go, young man. Midnight is long past your bedtime. Albert Einstein's mother, but it's your senior photograph. Couldn't you have done something with your hair? And finally, Moses' mother. That's a good story. Now tell me where you've really been for the last 40 years. So happy Mother's Day. This morning I wanted to speak with you for just a few minutes about what should we know about each other. One of the most rewarding aspects of my rabbinate is my interfaith work. I find it most rewarding and mutually beneficial. With this in mind, what I want to share with you today is what I would like my Christian friends to know about Judaism and what Jews should know about Christianity and what is the meaning and purpose of interfaith relations and dialogue. Firstly, I want my Christian friends to know that Judaism is not just a religion. Christians define themselves primarily in terms of faith. Jews define themselves primarily in terms of community and practices that sustain it. The core identity question to a Christian is, do you believe? The core identity question to a Jew is, do you belong? Yet, this does not mean that there are no central beliefs in Judaism. Judaism affirms oneness, the divine unity, and the unity of equality of all humanity. The Torah, the five books of Moses, is the blueprint to help us translate that core belief into reality. Jewish religious law states categorically, a Jew, even one who denies his or her faith, remains a Jew. We might abdicate our beliefs, But Judaism does not let them go. The covenant of the generation, the bond of peoplehood, still holds forever. I'd like my Christian friends to know that while Judaism is a personal faith, it is beyond that a collective heritage, a civilization. A Christian theologian once wrote, "Religion is what a person does with his solitariness." Judaism teaches that religion is what we do in relationships, in community. The emphasis in Judaism is not an individual salvation. As Jews, we welcome all who would wish to participate in or adopt a heritage. But we do not feel compelled to save souls. The righteous among the Gentiles have a share in the character and moral behavior of the world to come. We believe that God's love is infinite. We believe that God's love is inclusive. It encompasses peoples of all faiths, all cultures, and all traditions. Judaism is not meant to save our souls for the world to come, but to give us a soul in this lifetime. Jewish religion is an engagement with the world as it is, that we may help shape it as it ought to be. Central to Judaism is a historic sense of peoplehood that enforces our relationship with the people in the land of Israel, a concept quite difficult to many Christians to grasp. Jewish religion does not idolize the land. Biblically and thereafter, Jewish piety saw the destruction and the redemption of the land as tied to Israel's merit. It is not a matter of entitlement. It is rather a matter of responsibility. Judaism and modern Zionism are efforts to approximate God's demands of justice in this world. Our commitment to the survival of the state of Israel is not predicated on a sense of recompense for the Holocaust and other Jewish sufferings. It is an affirmation of a natural historic right and a challenge to live up to the aspirations of ethical nationhood. Jews deserve to be a people like all nations, yet we must also respond to the prophetic call to be a light unto the nations. In keeping with that ideal, I would like you to know something about Tikkun Olam, our belief in the perfection or improvement of our world. Judaism proposes a partnership between God and the people of Israel with all humanity. We are not merely creatures of God, but co-creators with the divine, divine partners in completing the work of creation. When Judaism speaks of the redemption of the world, it means not an escape from history, but the fulfilling of history. The Jewish messianic impetus is not otherworldly. We say in one of our prayers that we need to complete the world and make it ripe for the sorrowty of God. Elie Wiesel once wrote, "The Messiah will come the day after he is no longer needed." How do we get to that goal of justice? How do we get to that goal of peace? Judaism proposes a life of mitzvot, of good deeds, of commandments. For the Orthodox Jew, that means the adherence of 613 divinely ordained commandments implicit in the Torah to be performed each and every day. Now I know why I'm tired each and every night. For the modern Jew, mitzvah means a religious or a moral imperative, a duty, an obligation which we take upon ourselves to make all of life redemptive, worthwhile, and meaningful. Some mitzvot are ritual, and they invite us to color our lives with beauty, joy, and sanctity. Others are ethical. They demand us to color the world with justice, loving kindness, and holiness. Now, what should a Jew know about Christianity? Allow me to offer some of my own observations. Otherwise, my sermon would be quite short. Like Judaism, Christianity is a rich and a complex religion. Of all the world's great religions, Christianity is the most geographically widespread and numerous one. One out of every three persons today is Christian, totaling 1.5 billion faithful. In addition to the Roman Catholic tradition, there have developed since the Renaissance and the Enlightenment various Protestant churches and denominations. Protestant Christianity varies widely from the highly liturgical and formal to the mainline denominations, to the many more informal, charismatic, and fundamental versions of evangelical Christianity. In addition to the Roman Church and Western Protestant churches, there are the Eastern Orthodox churches, including the Greek, Russian, and other communities, which go back to the early Byzantine roots of Christianity. Rather than thinking of Judaism and Christianity as a mother and a daughter, they should be considered sibling faiths. It is not so much that Christianity emerged from Judaism, but that both Judaism and Christianity grew out of the same biblical matrix of ancient Israel as responses to the crises experienced by the Jewish people during the Roman domination in the early centuries of the Common Era. During that time, the Jewish landscape was dotted with many different socio-economic, cultural, and spiritual expressions of Judaism. These included the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and many other groups that produced the Dead Sea Scrolls and rejected both the Roman and Jewish society of the time. Zealots, who led army revolts against the Romans, and Messianists, who believed in the imminent arrival of the Redeemer, and the regular peasant folk who simply wanted to live in peace. They all coexisted, side by side, often in disagreement with one another, proposing different responses to the Roman Empire's coercive presence. Following the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 CE, two views of Judaism would survive. One was provided by the early rabbis, another centered upon the messianic role. Eventually, divine nature, the divine nature of Jesus of Nazareth, the followers of the Nazarene and his disciples gave birth to Christianity. The process of differentiation is slower than we might think. Following Constantine and the Council in 325 CE, Christianity becomes a separate faith and then the official religion of the Roman Empire. In time, Judaism will become a denigrated and persecuted religious minority in the midst of Christendom. Judaism and Christianity continued to share a common source, even as they grew apart. Traditionally, Judaism and Christianity claim the same original revelation, the Hebrew scriptures. But ironically, the same Bible that unites us becomes a source of separation because each tradition comes to that biblical source with different presumptions, questions, and answers. Christianity argues, interprets, and claims to supersede the Old Testament with the New Testament or New Covenant. The gospel is the good news that proclaims the saving role of Christ to the new Israel. Judaism, on the other hand, expands, interprets, and completes the Torah with the oral Torah. It is a binding and vital covenant that sustains Israel in exile. Christianity, in its origin, a Jewish sect, grows into a Gentile church that eventually rejects its Judaic roots. As Christianity adopted certain fundamental beliefs, influenced by the Greco-Roman culture, it positioned itself outside the orbit of Judaism. The central symbol of Christianity is the cross. It stands for death. It stands for rebirth. It stands for sin and forgiveness, suffering and healing. It is an intensely personal and individual message. Christian faith both affirms that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected to give us new life. Jesus is not the only incarnation of God, but the embodiment of every suffering human being. Judaism, of course, has more than its fair share of suffering. The difference is that Christian theology sees suffering and embraces it. Judaism sees suffering as degrading and struggles to overcome it. We are called to serve God through joy. The central metaphor of Judaism is not the cross, but the crossing. It is a journey from Egypt to Sinai, the freedom to the covenant. The Jewish message is embodied not in a divine human redeemer, but in a people and in a book. In Christianity, Jesus crucified becomes the Savior and the way to God the Father. In Judaism, Torah is our way of life and our path to God. Christianity speaks of salvation in the hereafter. Judaism speaks of sanctification in the here and now. Christianity consoles an imperfect humanity. Judaism exhorts a perfectible humanity. Christianity searches for truth. Judaism cherishes the question. Christianity begins with, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Judaism begins with, "Let my people go to become a holy nation." Of course, I am not suggesting that the qualities attributed to Christianity do not exist in Judaism and vice versa. But it is a matter of emphasis, of a core theme. Both Judaism and Christianity address the mind and the heart. Suffering and healing, sin and forgiveness. Both address the totality of the human soul and the needs of the community. Both are needed messages, the soothing and the urging. Both hark back to Abraham's call to be a blessing. One is not better than the other. One is the way of the cross. The other is the way of the crossing. One would ask, what would Jesus do? The other, what does Torah teach? They are partners, not competitors, in ushering a time of justice and peace. American Christians today are curious and eager to learn about Jews and Judaism. By the same token, it behooves Jews to gain a better understanding of Christianity. Affirming our similarities, honoring our differences, let us build a more faithful life, stronger congregations, safer neighborhoods, a more just and kind society, and a more peaceful world. This is my hope. This is my prayer. Amen.